Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. You are the conqueror. Lord, we thank you that not only you are conqueror, you want to bring us into victory. And Lord, this morning as we come before you, we commit our hearts and mind to you so that you can speak to us. Although we are weak, but you are strong. Although we are always fail, but you always victorious. Lord, this morning, as we read your scripture, we pray that you speak to us and the Holy Spirit explain your own words in our hearts. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I would like to continue looking at the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters of Ephesians shows us how God saved us when we were dead in our sin. He made us alive together with Christ, as mentioned in chapter 2 of Ephesians verse 5. And when we were saved, we received a new life from God. Through this new life, God works in us for us to become his workmanship. As said in the chapter 2, verse 10. This workmanship is the church of Christ, in which to God be the glory. From chapter 4, Paul told us that how this workmanship to be done in the church corporately and individually on each Christian through our practical daily walk. Due to our sins of selfishness and pride, we fell short of God's glory and damaged our relationship with other people. Through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, we have been redeemed and have a new life in Christ to live and to relate to other people in a redeemed way. Last three times, from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to chapter 6, verse 4, we looked at how to pull off the old man and put on the new man, to redeem our relationship with our spouse, our parents, and our children. This time, I would like to look at Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 5 to 9, on the relationship between bondservants and masters. Understand that among us, there are quite a few people, maybe you are very young, or maybe you are quite elderly, or retired. Some of you may not be working at the moment. But if you are young, I pray that what we are looking at in the scripture, still you are a student, but you can still learn and understand how to prepare yourself to work in your workplace. So let us read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. Verse 5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service, as people pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and what there is no partiality with him. The theme I would like to give to this passage is the way to a redeemed work life. I'll look at this session with two main points with this theme. The first one, slaves, obey your master with Christ as your Lord. From verse 5 to 8. And the second point is, master, treat your slaves with Christ as your Lord. Verse 9. Let us first look at the first main points in verse 5 to 8. Slaves, obey your master with Christ as your Lord. We can look at the following slide with some other highlights. What is a bond servant? Bond servants means slaves. Someone being bound to serve their master all their life. How is it like to be a bond servant in the eyes of the ancient Greco-Roman world? The famous Greek philosopher Aristotle reckoned that it's hard for us to take it, but this is what he said. A slave is a living tool, just as a tool is an inanimate slave. Where did slaves come from in ancient Roman Empire? Might be prisoners of war or slaves bought outside Roman territory. Or desperately poor Roman citizens sold their children into slavery. Some slaves could be highly intelligent or skillful. But all slaves and their families were the property of the owners, who could sell or rent them out at any time. Slaves were often cruelly mistreated. Their owner could also kill them for any reason and would face no punishment. For example, Gaius, the Roman lawyer, who authored a famous legal textbook called The Institute in the 2nd century AD. In that he said, we may note that it is universally accepted that the master possesses the power of life and death over the slave. It is not too difficult for us to imagine the extensive evil in the social system of slavery, such as power abuse and oppression. Christ came to the world 2,000 years ago was not to reform the social or political system, including the evil slavery system, but to reform human hearts through redemption. This is to redeem the fallen and sinful human beings, including bond servants and masters. God's work on a person is not from the outside, but from the inside out, through redeeming man's evil hearts from within. The work of the world is trying to change and improve humanity from the outside because they're inadequate to change the inside condition of man. Only the power of the gospel can change the inner sinful heart condition with a new life. For God to transform Christians into his workmanship through their daily walk on earth. This is an inside-out change. Sometimes that inside-out change of Christians can bring changes to the evil social system to be abolished. For example, William Wilberforce was a British politician around 1800. After he believed in the gospel and became a Christian, his life was changed. His view on his luxurious life and the slavery system totally changed. He became an important leader, important political leader in abolishing slavery system, which contributed to the slavery abolishment in most of the whole British Empire in the early 19th century. There were many slaves in the Roman Empire in Paul's days. Someone estimated more than half of the whole population. Imagine, in such a power imbalance and power abusive slavery system in Paul's day, a slave could be easily tending to be depressive, unmotivated, unengaging, self-pity, hopeless, bitter, and full of hatred. But Paul's exhortation to slaves in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 8, we can see are so radical and revolutionary. The exhortation was still relevant and applicable to them, for them to live in their very difficult personal slavery situations with faith, cheerfulness, motivation, diligence, focus, growth in godliness, hope and forgiveness, and love. We are not slavery in the 21st century, but this scripture should also be applicable for Christian employees to trust and follow their Lord in their current work situation, which is probably much less difficult than that of the slaves in Paul's time. In verse 5, bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Paul exhorted the Ephesian Christian slaves to obey their master. It is meaningful to notice that Paul's exhortation to slaves before his exhortation to the master. That means his exhortation to slaves is not on condition that the masters were good master and follow Paul's exhortation. So Paul's exhortation to the slave is not on condition on that. That means Paul exhort them to obey even the bad master. How should we obey our managers or employers? This scripture told us that with a sincere heart. Sincerity refers here to singleness or simplicity, purity, not double-mindedness. Obey with a sincere heart means not with a mentality, just complying with the minimum requirements of the assigned task from your managers. Not just focusing only on our behavior, but more importantly, on the heart attitude. Obey to serve the boss with a sincere heart. With a sincere desire to serve the boss' interest, to help the boss to succeed, to achieve his goal. If we obey with a sincere heart, we won't be lazy at work. The reason and the motivation to sincerely obey our earthly master is not because our master deserves our respect, obedience, or service, but it's from a sincere heart to obey Christ, our Lord, who deserves our obedience. So Paul exhorts us to obey our earthly masters with Christ in our heart as our Lord. This is how Christians are different from non-Christians. As Christians, we ourselves are sinners saved by the redemption of grace of Christ. We are loved by our Lord, who is willing to die for us on the cross, even when we were sinners. So we have been given grace of forgiveness of sin and new life, which enable us to live for our gracious Lord and loving Lord. These are what we look at in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. How can a Christian employee obey a bad manager with a sincere heart? Humility helps us to see that originally we are not better than the bad manager, but we are only sinners saved by grace. Gratefulness also helps us to see that we are undeserved for God's kindness, so we can also give grace and kindness to our undeserved bad boss through respect and obedience. Brothers and sisters, every day when we go to work, what is our mentality? Just to comply with minimum requirements and finish the assigned task? Or we are learning to obey with a sincere heart, to seek benefit for your boss and to help them to succeed? Obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. Respect your employer or manager. Fear of disobeying them, offending them. Fear of being disrespectful to them. I remember there is an incident in my life many years ago which I feel regrettable. Nearly 30 years ago, when I was teaching in a high school, which was new to me, the principal was an elderly Christian lady. That year, I was teaching the class sitting for public exam, which is sort of equivalent to New South Wales HSC. At that time, the public exam was starting in a month's time. It's going to start in a month's time. And all the students have stopped coming to school to study at home, preparing for their important public exam. To my big surprise, one day, the principal asked her secretary to send a letter to all the students in my class, and including other classes on the same level, at the same level, to come back to school in order to spend a whole day to rehearse the graduation ceremony to be held after the public exam. I thought, why the principal was willing to sacrifice the precious study time of the students in order to make the graduation ceremony running to be smoother or less hiccups? I never come across this kind of rehearsal arrangement in my previous high school's experience as a student or as a teacher. I was angry and trying to stop her from wasting my students' time and disadvantaging the public exam. In Hong Kong, the public exam is much more competitive than HSC now, because the university intake is very limited. So I rushed to the principal room with anger and confronted her before other staff. When I looked back, I felt very sad for doing this. What made me regret was my proud and unloving attitude, which made her feel embarrassed. I thought she was caring only about the outward appearance of the graduation ceremony and school image in the eyes of parents and guests, whereas I was caring about the need and well-being of the students. I thought I was better than her. I thought I had the truth in my hand. Regrettably, I used this truth to correct her in a harsh and a disrespectful way. I reckon what I did was very hurting to this elderly sister. I'm very sorry I did it to her. Why I did that? One reason is that I was lack of fear and trembling towards my principal, who was my authority. I was lack of fear and trembling because I didn't respect her. I didn't respect her because I thought she was bad and I was good. I didn't respect her because of my pride. Paul said, obey with fear and trembling. So as I share about this scripture, doesn't mean that I learn well. Actually, I learn not well. But I would like to share to encourage everyone, whether we are working now or working in the future, so that to learn how to obey the Master God give to you. Verse 6. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Disobedience is not only the way of eye service through outward action, only working hard when the Master is around, but lazy when the Master is away. The obedience is doing the will of God from the heart, as bond servants of Christ. The will of God in Ephesians is always related to the praise of His glory, of God's glory. When we learn to obey our masters, we are not as man pleases, but obey in order to glorify our God so that God can be praised. On the other hand, the scope of obedience to our master has to be within the boundary of God's will. If our boss asks us to sin or to do something conflicting with the will of God or not bring glory to God, we have to say no. But when we say no to our boss, we need to say in a respectable way and humble way. Oftentimes, it requires a lot of wisdom and faith to handle this kind of difficult situation. Sometimes might cause us to lose the job. Recently, one of the big four auditing firms, they have some tax scandal. If an employee is involved in this kind of problem, even he wants to do right, he might feel pressure. So in the sinful world, if around us doing something wrong, what should we respond? We do need wisdom. And we do need the grace of God to help us how to obey and also how to say no. Paul exhorted us to do the will of God as bond servants of Christ. Verse 7. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Rendering service with a good will. Serving the Master in a cooperative way with enthusiastic and helpful attitude. Not as a burdensome task with complaints, but willingly, gladly serving the Master. As to the Lord, and not to man, it is important. Otherwise, it is very hard for us to rendering service with a good will sometimes. Because there are managers like to take credit from you when you did well in a project, making it successful. It is your achievement. But some manager may like to take credit from something you did. Or there's some manager like to make you take the blame when he or she handled a project badly, causing it failed. Does these kinds of managers deserve us to render them service with a good will? Is it worth for us to do that? Is it worth for us to seek success for our selfish master, so that he gain all the credit and bonuses and promotion and leave the blame to us? Even to that kind of masters, Paul encouraged us, render service in goodwill. Because we know that actually it is our Lord we are rendering service. So that we can rendering the service with in goodwill. Because our Lord deserves our service in goodwill. Because we do it to the Lord, not to man. Verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a bondservant or slave, or is free. Knowing that. Here refers that our minds are convinced. We are convinced that whatever good deeds we'll receive back from the Lord. Though the bad master took the credit and you took the blame, you will definitely receive back from the Lord for what you do good. Your salary package from your work might be sometimes even negatively impacted, but your reward from the Lord will never be taken or forgotten. So next time when you look at your salary package, don't just consider the component from your earthly boss. Remember the component from our gracious Lord. He will reward our good deeds for Him, for His glory. Our earthly component of the salary package is only temporary. The Lord's component is much more long-lasting and valuable. Like Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph's work life is a good example to us. In Genesis 37, his father Jacob gave him a task. Jacob asked Joseph to go to Shechem to find his brothers. After he went to Shechem, he couldn't find his brothers. But he didn't give up and go back home. He continued to try to accomplish his responsibility. Trying faithfully, carrying out his father's assigned task for him. Finally, he found his brothers to accomplish the work the father assigned to him. But his brother wanted to kill him, and eventually he was sold as a slave to an officer of Pharaoh called Potiphar. Even being a slave, Joseph worked hard for the responsibility assigned to him. Through his faithfully fulfilling his responsibility, God trained him to become a capable and reliable young man. He was promoted to be the overseer to the whole Potiphar's household and helped his master to succeed. Not only Joseph received the earthly reward from God through his master Potiphar, he also received spiritual reward from God through the building of godly character in Joseph in the process. That was shown by his strength to resist the temptation of adultery from his the Potiphar's wife, his female master. Though he was only a young man, he was well trained in fear and love for God. Later, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and was put into prison. the prison for Pharaoh's prisoners. Though he was so unjustly treated, he still continued to work faithfully and diligently for the responsibility assigned to him by the keeper of the prison. The Bible told us that God's steadfast love and presence with him, with Joseph, Joseph continued to succeed in his work. God trained him through his work, and later he was entrusted by the keeper of the prison to be in charge of all the prisoners, including previous very highly ranked officials of Pharaoh. We can see how God used difficult work environment to enlarge and deepen Joseph's capacity, character, and godliness. This is to prepare him to be the second in chief of the great Egyptian empire, in order to save Israel's family, Jacob's family, from famine, to keep the promise of God to Abraham, to protect Jacob's family. From a very pitiful and desperate slave, Joseph became the savior of his people. He was a faithful servant of God, transformed by God, used by God. I believe his example demonstrates the principle in Paul's exhortation to slaves in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. So may Paul's exhortation and Joseph's obedience and faithfulness encourage us, all of us who are employees. No matter how bad our boss or our work environment are, we can still, if it's the Lord to put us there, we can still be faithfully learning to serve Christ, our Lord, to be transformed and grow into his likeness. Having said that, now we are not living in the 2,000 years ago, the slavery system in the old days. It's okay to make change, to find other better manager or company which have closer values to our Christian values. It's okay. We don't need to be stuck in a certain work. And sometimes the change might help us to practice Paul's exhortation in a less challenging environment. We need to pray and seek God's wisdom and guidance in this situation. But wherever we go, we can still, by the grace of the Lord, learn how to be an employee, how to obey our boss. After looking at the first main point, slaves, obey your earthly masters with Christ as our Lord, we now move to look at the second main point. Master, treat your slaves with Christ as our Lord. We go to the next slide. The same slide but different highlights. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that who is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Master, do the same to them. Obviously, Paul is not telling the master to serve the slaves or the employers to obey the employees in the same way as verse 5 to 7 discussed above. Do the same to them, referring to managing your company and treating your employees or subordinates with the same principle, which is doing this with Christ as our Lord. maybe among us, we not too many people is the manager or the boss of the whole company. Or sometimes we are a team leader or manager in a certain division of the company. So this then can also be relevant to us. Or even now we are not, we can still learn how to grow. If sometime, someday, the Lord puts us in a position to be team leaders or manager or the head of the company. That means the principle for the employees in the verse 5 to 8 to obey their boss are to be applied to the boss to lead their employees. The principle is with Christ as Lord, as our Lord. How to do the same to the employees? For example, do the same to them regarding with fear and trembling in verse 5. As a slave to Christ the Lord, the Christian employer or boss should lead carefully with fear and trembling, not to sin against Christ through mistreating their employees. Do the same to them, regarding with a sincere heart. In verse 5 refers to leading your team or company to seek to help your employees to grow, not to use them only to work for you to achieve your own success, but to use work to serve them, to grow them, to help them to succeed, to develop their skills and potentials so that they can shoulder up more responsibility for your business. A good boss or leader is to seek the benefit for the people he leads. For example, caring for their well-being, including their work-life balance, so you don't expect them to work overtime all the time as the norm. Sacrificing their health and families when you set assigning a responsibility to them. Care for their well-being. Do the same to them regarding doing the will of God from the heart. In verse 6, refer to leading your team to do good work consistent with the goodness of our God for His glory. Therefore, Christian employers should be careful for the objectives of their business and how to achieve them so that they are consistent with the glory of God. Paul also exhorts every Christian in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So it is important for us to set up good goals and values for our business if we are the boss. Helping our employees to understand and convince and to be convinced of them, of the good values and good goals. Not just manage the employee by setting rules to control them, but by setting good examples to motivate them. Therefore, to be a good employer or manager, he or she herself needs to be convinced that her business is consistent with God's will and His glory, so she can do the will of God from the heart. Do the same to them regarding to rendering service with a good will. In verse 7, refer to employer being willingly and cheerfully to render service to the Lord through his business. In order to do that, he needs to be convinced that what she is doing is pleasing the Lord. And she can see the value of the business and can be compassionate and engaging in her own work. In this case, she can motivate her team or employees to work willingly diligently, cheerfully, and proactively. Paul not only exhorts the master to do the same to them positively in verse 9, he also warned them negatively to stop threatening the employees. Don't mistreat your servants by power abuse, including threatening them. I know some employers, that they delay or even hold back their wages. Even some people, they claim that they're Christian. They do that. But this is not right. This is unchristian. James chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts." So if the employer did that, the employee suffers. And their cries will reach the ears of the Lord of hosts. So Christian boss shouldn't mistreat their employee. Though the employer have the authority and power given to them over their employees, the power is only for leading and serving, but not for abuse. Because both the boss and servants have the same master, who is Christ in heaven. With Christ, there's no partiality. All of us need to give accountability to our same Lord. Therefore, the employers need to watch out how they relate to their employees. There's a God-pleasing picture of how a master's relationship with his servants in the Old Testament. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" Boaz was the owner of the field. He took initiative to bless his reaper servants with kindness from God. He blessed them saying, "The Lord be with you." His servant responded with God's blessing to him. He had good relationship and mutual respect with his servants. This relationship glorifying the Lord. Now, there are many people, they seldom go to church to know Jesus and his gospel. If we are willing to learn to be a good employer or manager in a godly way, or we are willing to be a good employee in a godly way, we can be a good witness in our workplace. We can become the message for the workmates around us, even they don't come to church service, and to incur their desire to know Jesus and his gospel if we have good witness. Like the slave girl of the Syrian general Naaman in the Old Testament, recorded in chapter 5. Naaman was a commander of the army of the king Syria. He suffered from leprosy. When this happened, his wife had an Israelite slave. This slave girl, she cared for her master and suggested to her mistress that God's prophet of Israelite could heal her master's leprosy. That's how Naaman was healed and believed in Jehovah God because of the slave girl's help. So even a humble slave girl can be used by God to save a great Gentile general. No matter how insignificant employee we see ourselves to be, we can still be God's channel of His gracious salvation through our good work, good Christian testimony at our workplace. Now we are going to sing a song, The Servant King. We are originally all self-serving people. Jesus is our servant king. In verse 1, he said, Song 222, we can show to that. The servant king. Let me read the verse 1. From heaven you came, helpless babe. Enter our world, your glory veiled. Not to be served, but to serve. And give your life that we might live. We are originally all self-serving people. But Jesus is our servant king. In the chorus. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. How do we worship him? As we follow him on his footsteps, to live as a living daily offering. By following our servant king, God can transform us from self-serving to serving God and to serve others. Verse 4. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him. Each other needs to prefer, for it is Christ we are serving. Let us learn how to serve. As an employee, learning how to serve our servant king through serving our boss at work. As a boss, learning how to serve our servant king through serving the employees to lead and grow them. As we learn to serve one another in our daily walk, we can be transformed more into His godliness, His likeness. To let God to work His workmanship in our lives and also for the workmanship in the church. So to him be the glory. Let us sing the whole song, The Servant King. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you as we are, before your scripture. We ask you, Lord, to speak your heart desire into our hearts and give us faith so that we can understand your heart and we can understand your grace so that we can apply what we heard from your word. So that, Lord, help us in our work life, more and more we can see your grace, see your work, and see your steadfast love and presence, so that we can experience you and be transformed by you through our work life. So that we can experience your new life in us and your precious character formed in us to give you glory. So Lord, we commit all this to you. We ask the Holy Spirit to fill the gap and interpret your words to us so that we can have strength and faith to follow you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.